Good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining us in the studio this morning are Tori O'Connell. She's the research director at the Sitka Sound Science Center. Good morning, Tori.
Good morning, Rob.
And you've brought along Rob Harcourt, your science in fellow... Science in
Scientist
surf,
in residence fellow.
Surf. Your SIRF, Rob Harcourt. He's from Macquarie University in Sydney, Australia. Hi, Rob.
Morning, Rob.
How are you doing?
Excellent.
You just arrived, right?
That's right. I came in on Sunday night.
Okay, and Tori is putting you right to work. You've already been over to Mount Edgecombe High School.
That's right, which was fabulous. Those kids are so bright.
Okay, and you'll be giving a presentation tonight at the Raptor Center.
Yes, I'm going to be talking about penguins and climate change.
All right. And you are a professor of marine ecology.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, I'm going to ask you more about your program and stuff, but Tori, just give us a short sort of explanation of why Rob is here in Sitka now.
Okay, so we have a program called the Scientist in Residency Fellowship, and we bring in preeminent mid-career scientists to Sitka for a month mini sabbatical. We're entering our fourth year of this program, and the idea is kind of twofold, kind of to increase scientific literacy in Sitka, have people exposed to different science careers, have students understand you can have a fun job in science with a paycheck, you don't have to go to school forever, and also to have these scientists come to Sitka and understand all we have to offer. Here we are in the Gulf of Alaska. The Tongass is our backyard. We have a great community here. And so to bring scientists here to work and help us with our scientific question. So it's been a really wonderful program. And Rob is working on a really interesting project that has international collaborations. And he's going to be working with Jan Straley here and the Science Center and thinking about ways that we can get involved in those projects as well.
Yeah. Rob, your work is kind of in the bullseye of or in the strike zone of our interests here. You tag and track and study deep
everything.
Water.
Everything.
Everything that moves.
Yeah, yeah. So
tell us a little bit about
excited to be here because saying to Tori the other day, this is a lifelong dream of mine to come to Alaska. Mm-hmm. You know, I've worked in Antarctica and around the whole of the Southern Ocean on every continent, but I'd never been to Alaska. And the main program that we're running now is a large international collaboration where we tag animals with these really cool satellite tags that log information about the environment. So it tells us about salinity and about temperature. And for deep diving animals, they bring up information from the depths, which we can then use to plug into our models about ocean circulation. So the animals are going out and then telling us what they do, and that helps us find what they need to feed upon and look at where things might be affected by fishing or by oil spills, which we have in Australia as well, obviously. But also the information that they send up to the satellite tells us what's happening with the ocean. And so we can use the information from that to actually help us understand what's happening in the oceans in general, not just about the animals.
And what kind of animals are you tagging?
Well, we tag a lot of different animals. We tag elephant seals and Weddell seals for these instruments that go very deep, because both elephant seals and Weddell seals dive as deep as 1,000 metres. In fact, elephant seals dive deeper than 2,000 metres, that's 7,000 feet. And but we also tag smaller seals and penguins and sharks. We do a lot of work on white sharks and other species of sharks in Australia, and seabirds, but even really tiny things. So the smallest animals we tag are the box jellyfish that we have in northern Queensland that float around and that can kill you if they swim into you. So everything from jellyfish up to, in fact, even blue whales, largest of all animals.
And so, and you're learning about the environment from the animal, but are you also learning about the animal?
Oh, we're all biologists, so what we're really interested in is what the animals do, where they go to feed, how they find food. But at the same time, because where the food is and is a function of what's happening in the environment, we're learning about the environment. So we're pulling the different disciplines of science together, chemistry and physics and biology, all integrated into one.
Okay, and how do you tag a jellyfish?
Well, jellyfish is actually a little bit tricky because they do sting a lot. But we put these little tiny acoustic tags. They're a little bit bigger than a penny. And we actually sew them inside the translucent bell at the top. So the bell doesn't sting, it's only the stingers that hang down. And then you just clip it inside, and then they just send out a little acoustic signal. It's a little bit like a barcode when you go to a shop.
Salmon.
Yeah, salmon, we do it with salmon as well. Yeah, okay. So eat salmon smolt as well.
And you have to sort of reach in through the stingers. Is this something graduate students are very
only
proficient?
Graduate students? Yeah, and our professors can't do that. We get a little bit clumsy in our old age.
Shock their lot to release them again. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Oh no, they're native and then.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah. I was making a joke. Sorry, that was a joke. I'm from New Jersey. I was going to say yesterday when he was talking to the Mount Edgecombe students, one of the really great applications for these tags on the seals is, you know, they had been using technology alone to do this, but because of the ice cover on the poles, floats, they go down and they'll go down to depth and then they come back up to the surface and then they have to get to the sea surface to transmit. Well, the ice covers the surface. So they were losing a lot of data and losing a lot of these Argos. But seals always have to come up to breathe. So they're taking advantage of the life history of seals and their daily routine to transmit data by putting a tag on a seal. And I think that is so clever.
It is clever. And I guess the technology has gotten to the point where you can do it. You mentioned Jan Straley earlier, who works at the Science Center, and she's one of our most notable humpback whale researchers. I did a story on her at the very beginning of my trek in radio, and she talked about her frustration at really only being able to observe whales on the surface and feeling like she had such a small slice, such a small window to create her research on whales. But you have the tools now to take it all the way.
It's interesting you say that, because we've actually described it as opening a window into the underwater world. And that's exactly what it has done. So the new technology, and some of the technology is the stuff we use every day. So every iPhone contains an accelerometer, and we're using the accelerometer. So that's how the phone can detect if you're going walking or whatever, some of those apps that everybody's getting so that they can take them on their jog. And accelerometers we're using to look at how animals are swimming through the world, and then we can reconstruct their diving behavior and to the point where we can even see when they actually move fast to catch a fish or to escape from a killer whale. And so we can reconstruct what's going on quite laboriously sometimes. You need big computational power, but we've got that now. So we haven't completely cleaned the window, but we've certainly made a little bit of an opening in the mist.
I told you I was going to ask you a dumb question. If the killer whale manages to catch the creature that you've tagged, can you ever get the tag back through studies?
So
involving more graduate students.
That's actually a really good question, because we have two types of tags that we mainly use. One is the acoustic tags, like we put in the jellyfish and the salmon smolt, and they transmit an acoustic signal like at 69 kilohertz, quite high frequency, which killer whales can't hear. But if they eat a seal that has a tag with that, then the signal can continue to go until it goes flat, because it will transmit through the wall of the stomach. But the other tags that log and then send up to the satellite, they won't be able to signal once they're inside the stomach, except we have a really, really cool example of what can happen. So some of the tags that we put in these animals measure temperature, and these are particularly ones we put on fish and sharks, and so they measure temperature and depth. And then when you overlay satellite images of the temperature, when the satellite tag pops up to the surface, you can work out where the animals were at different times, because you've got day length that varies each day and you've got water temperature. So we had a white shark that was tagged in Australia and was swimming around the southern coast where the water is quite cool. And we got the tag back, so we were looking at where it had gone. And then suddenly it jumped from southern Australia right up into the tropics, according to our models. And then about 4 days later, it came back to where it should have been. And what we think happened is that the shark was eaten by a bigger shark, and that was the tag traveling through the stomach of the shark, which is warmer because sharks are mildly warm-blooded. And then when it came out the other end, it came back to South Australia.
So it never did go to the tropics.
It never went to the tropics. It just went into the stomach.
It went to the tropics inside yeah. a larger shark. I guess it's all...
Let's be careful what you wish for. I wish it was warmer. Yeah.
It's all relative. It's really great to hear you talk about this. And Tori, you described Rob's being here as sort of a mini sabbatical. But Rob, you're actually have quite a lot of plans. You are bringing some of your research collaborators along with you, and you're going to get some work done while you're here?
That's right. So I've got one of the guys who works with me has come all the way with me, and he's here for this week. He's going home on Sunday, and we're writing a paper about elephant seals and some of the southern elephant seal and some of the things that go into the way mothers invest in their young and how this varies with different environmental conditions from a long-term data set. Ironically, there was an elephant seal here, and Clive is probably the world's most experienced field biologist with elephant seals, and we went and had a look at it the other day when the National Marine Fisheries Service oversaw us putting some plastic tags in so that people at Sitka, if the animals come back in the future, can know if it's the same animal coming back or not. So that was a bonus for us. We always love to get out and get our hands a little bit dirty.
Yeah, great serendipity that we had the man and the animal.
Exactly, here it was at the same perfect timing.
And you're going to produce some papers?
We're probably going to do, well, we've got three papers planned. I've got another colleague here from Oregon who's a statistician, but we're looking at the impacts of whale and dolphin watching on whales and dolphins using some empirical data and some models. And so we're going to be working that up, and that's where discussions with Jan in particular would be really cool.
All right. Well, I'm a science geek. The interview has run long talking about this. There was other stuff I wanted to ask, but Rob's going to be speaking tonight, 6 p.m. at the Raptor Center. He's going to be doing the presentation on penguins and climate change. Will happy feet feel the heat? And that's free, 6 p.m. tonight at the Raptor Center.
Yep.
And then Tori, he's also going to be speaking at Rotary
on the 12th. And he's around if you want to meet him or if you want to take him flying or hiking. And his partner will be here starting the 6th of May,
I think. Right.
So come by the Science Center and we'll introduce you.
All right. Rob Harcourt is a professor of marine ecology at Macquarie University in Sydney. He's participating in the Integrated Marine Observing System, where he's tagging just about everything that swims in the ocean, including jellyfish and blue whales. Tori O'Connell is research director of the Sitka Sound Science Center and oversees the Scientists
in Residency
Fellowships. Thanks very much for coming in this morning, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.